Now those of y'all who know me know when I come down out of the pulpit and I talk to you like this, things are usually bad, aren't they? The General Conference, I just want to give a short recap of what has happened in those days and in the days since. The traditional plan passed by a narrow margin, I think it was 53% to 47%, in the final vote. The traditionalist plan speaks to strengthen the language against the LGBT community that is currently in our Book of Discipline and has been for the last 40 years. As y'all know, every 4 years when General Conference gathers, we debate this, and we seek to become a church that truly embraces all. However, this traditional plan seeks to cast out those individuals, those ordained clergy, those churches, those annual conferences that seek to be reconciling churches. The New York Annual Conference is one of those annual conferences. In the traditional plan, there were certain parts of it that, when reviewed by the Judiciary Council, parts were initially referred to be unconstitutional. This was just a preliminary thing. This was nothing binding. This was before General Conference. At General Conference, there was the option to make amendments to the traditional plan that would have made it constitutional. However, that was not done. Instead, they passed the plan with those unconstitutional statements still in there. What this means is that after a motion was made to refer this entire plan to the Judicial Council to rule upon its constitutionality, at the end of April is when that council meets, when they will review this traditional plan that we ended up passing. If you ask me what is going to happen, I will be honest. I don't know. I don't know what the council will rule, whether they will accept the plan as voted upon, whether those provisions that were ruled unconstitutional will just be removed and the plan will continue forward, or whether the whole thing will be ruled out of order, tossed, and then we'll be back to square one, where we have been for the last 4 decades, essentially. So this morning, I made a request that we all stand together united as one body that chooses not to exclude people, that chooses not to exclude people upon who they love, upon who they are. We've done that before as a people called Methodists. We did it before in 1844 when the Methodist Episcopal Church split over slavery. Over 90 years, we spent that time as two denominations because we could not see the value and the worth of our African-American brothers and sisters. We formed central conferences to exit the black churches out of our denomination. That is how we ended up with the African Methodist Episcopal Church and the AME Church, Zion. We have some congregations here in Port Washington that are part of those denominations. But hear these words. We're Methodists today. We're Methodists tomorrow. I was born a United Methodist. I was baptized a United Methodist. By God, one day I'll die a United Methodist. But the scripture this morning, the transfiguration of Christ. Who knew that that would be coming up the Sunday after the special general conference from the City of Brotherly Love out there? What does that say to us as a church? When we look and we seek to be transformed ourselves. Look at the child that was possessed there. throwing himself on the floor, kicking and screaming. I said, "My God, how does that fit our church right now?" And only with God are we going to be able to overcome the anger and the hate that assault to divide us as a body, that seeks to destroy our denomination. And I don't say those words lightly, but that is what this group, the Wesley Covenant Association, has sought to do, to destroy our denomination, to destroy those churches that seek to embrace God's love. I'm thankful to be here in Port Washington. I am so thankful that our Jewish brothers and sisters are here with us this morning to stand with us as we hurt as a church, as we continue to call upon. So typically, when I'm out of the pulpit, I usually give y'all a challenge, don't I? Well, there's a challenge here today as well. Are you ready to stand up for an inclusive church together? Are you ready to go out into the world knowing that others may end up calling you names, saying that you're the ones that are filled with anger and hate, that you're the sinner for accepting someone who they believe is a sinner? Well, what a perfect place for us broken people to gather than here and in places of worship around the world. As y'all know, there's a Reconciling Ministries network that many of our United Methodist churches are a part of. This is a network of churches that choose to be inclusive as the entire body. So my challenge to you today is, do you seek to be a church that reconciles? Do you seek to be a place of peace and of love and of hope and of joy? Beloveds, it's going to be a long road ahead of us. And I don't know how much harm it will cause us. But what I do know is we're not going to walk it alone. This is our calling. We're the people called Methodists. We seek social justice. We seek God's grace. And I, just as I hope each and every single one of you here this morning will do the rest of your lives, be sure that grace is never taken away from anybody. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks be to God. So as we share in the sacrament of communion this morning, just a little background of how we got to communion is once a month. Some churches only celebrate communion once a quarter because we are people called Methodists. As the United States was growing, so was Methodism. Growing so rapidly, we didn't have enough pastors to cover all the churches. The circuit riders, they were called, devoted their whole lives to the ministry. They would ride a circuit, and sometimes they would only see some of their congregations once a month. Those churches ended up having to survive without pastoral leadership, because they were made up of strong laity. There's one thing that reflects as true back then as it does today. Y'all are some of the strongest laity I have yet to see and have yet to have the pleasure to serve alongside. I thank y'all for that. And know that this is not a United Methodist table. This isn't Fort Washington's table. This is a table that is open to all regardless, regardless of who we are. So now I invite you to turn down to page 17 in the front of the hymnal as we share the hymn.